sheets in prior, he's sick again, and had to, got some kind of infection in his bloodstream, and he had to, broke out upon top of his head, and he was, didn't get to preach for a month, and was real sick, and they finally got that healed up, and now it's, it broke out again on his face, and so we remember Pastor Sheets in prayer, if you would, please. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to try to preach tonight out of Galatians chapter 6, and the Lord will help us tonight, and appreciate again everyone that's come out and be with us. And we're still a little tired from the week and everything. Those who've been through it know how that goes. And, everything gets off schedule and you just get tired and everything. And a lot of times the stressful times works against diabetes and it usually makes it worse.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
And everything. And so pray for us tonight.
That's my brother.
Galatians chapter 6 tonight, we're going to read 14 verses tonight. We'll not read any verse together. Well, we'll read verse 1 together, okay? Let's read verse 1 together. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden.
Yes.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing.
Yes,
for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ.
Yes.
For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, we come to you this evening, and we do thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that have filled it. And Lord, as the word says, that before we even got our feet planted good on the floor today, that God had already loaded us with benefits.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, for letting us be a beneficiary, Lord, of the benefits of God. And we ask tonight, Lord, that you'd take these few thoughts that I have tonight, and I pray you'd take them as we place them in your hands. Lord, that you'd take these thoughts and make a message out of it. Lord, that would help somebody tonight and steer somebody in the right direction. We pray for the lost. We've had a lot of them among us here in the last month or so, and we're praying for their salvation daily, that they'll be saved. And we're praying that each one of us, Lord, might have a closer walk with God. And that'll never happen, Lord, until we desire. I pray you'd put the desire in our heart. The Bible said God gives us the desires of our heart. And I pray you'd give us that desire, Lord, for a closer walk with you. Lord, I ask for the Lord to give us liberty tonight. And I pray you'd give me clarity of thought tonight. And we beg and pray tonight for the unction and the anointing of God that makes preaching preaching. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you. We appreciate, Lord, the fact that you forgive us of our sins. And Lord, that on the cross you paid for our sins. And we come each day, Lord, and confess them, Lord, you forgive them. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
When I was down in Dallas, Texas a couple of weeks ago, I have a sister, lives in Alaska. And they had an earthquake that week. It was about 7.2 on the Richter scale, and she sent me some pictures of a grocery store where that she had went in the grocery store. Somebody had, and all the things on the shelf were all lying in the floor, and the shelves were empty where the earthquake had shook all of the things off the shelf. And they said it was about 7.2 on the Richter scale. And other times, you know, we've all seen earthquakes, and well, I believe it's last year, maybe year before last, time gets away from us. But we know they had that earthquake in Haiti, and they're still trying to recover from the devastation that that earthquake left. And but you know, here in the United States, of course, they have them every day. I reckon out in California, from what I hear, they have them every day out there. Alaska's kind of that way. And but you know, the worst one that's ever been in the United States didn't happen in California. And it didn't happen in Alaska. It happened in Kentucky and Tennessee and some of the surrounding states here where we live over 200 years ago. And they said that it rang church bells all the way from Charlestown, South Carolina, to Boston. The shaking was so great that it rang those church bells. They said the Mississippi River ran backwards because of what that earthquake produced. The largest number of fatalities was in Louisville, Kentucky, not too far from here, from that earthquake. Of course, that's because we live close, or maybe even on the Madrid fault line. We live very close to that. Right now, we're probably sitting right now close to that, if not on the Madrid fault line. This building's probably built on it. Your house is probably built on it. And over 200 years ago, that caused a lot of problems, a lot of problems. But I want to preach tonight on this thought. You notice the Apostle Paul there in verse 1. Paul said, "Brother, if a man be overtaken in a fall." And I want to preach this a little while, if the Lord will help me tonight. I want to preach on, are you building your life on a fault line? Are you building your life on a fault line? Because when you're built on a fault line, sooner or later you're going to have some problems. Sooner or later there's going to be a shaking, and it can be very sudden without any warning that these things can take place, and they can cause calamities in your life and in my life. If we're not careful and we don't check and we don't realize that we're building upon a fault line. The Bible has a lot to say about it. I'm going to stay right here in the chapter where we've read most of all. But in verse 1 we read where the Bible said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, I want to say first of all, in that verse right there, the Bible says that we need to consider ourselves. And if we don't consider ourselves, we're building on a fault line. You say, why do you say that, Brother Rick? Well, of course, the verse is talking about a brother. Notice it said brethren. That means somebody in the church, somebody saved.
Right.
And it said, if a brethren be overtaken. Now, that word overtaken, if you study that out, look it up. In the original meanings and things, you'll find out that word overtaken, it means to be almost taken by surprise. This is not somebody that sat around and thought, well, I think one day that I'd like to flirt with that lady back there, and I'm going to do the best I can to try to get a relationship going with her. It's not a planned out thing.
Yeah, right.
It's not like somebody would sit around and say, well, I know what I'm going to do this Friday. I'm going to go down and I'm going to buy some alcohol and I'm going to have a party at my house. It's not a planned up thing. But when it says if you're overtaken in a fault, it means somebody that's trying to do right, somebody that's going along their way, and all at once they're overtaken in an unexpected way, an unexpected temptation.
Right.
An unexpected thing confronts them, and because that they wasn't expecting it, because that they wasn't ready for it, maybe they wasn't prayed up, Maybe they didn't have their guard up. Maybe it caught them in a weak point. And because of that, they were overtaken by this fault, whatever it might have been. Now, that's the kind of person that he's talking about here. And the Bible says here that we are, as a Christian, a spiritual person. If we're a spiritual person, the Bible says that we are to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness.
Amen.
In other words, humbleness and meekness. Yeah, right. And the reason for that spirit of meekness and humbleness is because it said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Amen.
In other words, we need to consider tonight, every one of us, starting up here, Brother Rick behind the pulpit, all the way back to Marie and Max and Kathy sitting on the back, all the way back, we need to realize and consider that these things could happen to any one of us.
Amen.
Don't never get the attitude that you couldn't get out of church,
yes,
that you couldn't
right
backslide, that you couldn't get
right
caught up in some temptation or sin, because it's just not so. Amen. And when we live with that kind of an attitude and we don't consider ourselves that what someone else has done, that we could find ourselves in the same situation, we're building our life on a fault line.
Amen.
And it could start shaking and erupt at any time and bring our life down, bring us down with devastation and calamities and things that we would never imagine. I have friends tonight that are sitting at home tonight that used to be in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, but they're not in church anymore. You say, what happened? Well, they got overtaken in a fault. They got surprised. They got ambushed by the devil, so
amen
to speak. And you know, the Bible's full of it. I could just go on and on with the Bible, you know, go through the Bible. But better men than me and better people than you have been overtaken in a fault. You think about Noah there, the great shipbuilder, the great righteous man of his generation, a great man of faith, and yet we know all that Noah went through, through all of the flood, all of the days and nights of rain and darkness and the tossing to and fro. And we know that when Noah got out, the Bible said Noah planted a vineyard. I don't know how long it took him to grow that vineyard, but I'm sure the ground was much fertile then than it is now. And it probably didn't take a long time for that to grow. But the Bible said Noah made himself, he made some wine, he drunk it, and Noah got drunk, the Bible said.
Yeah.
He was overtaken in a fault. What about Abraham? Great man of faith, friend of God, father of faith. We think about Abraham, how that God had made them a promise, and God was going to keep the promise. He just takes sometimes a lot of time for God to fulfill his promises.
Amen.
And Abraham got tired of waiting, and Sarah was more tired than he was. And so Sarah began to try to help God out. Did you ever try to help God out? Well, I've tried to help God out. I found out most of the time God doesn't need any help.
Amen.
And most of the time I don't help God out. I hinder God in what he's trying to do. But Sarah, she told Abraham, she said, you need to, said, I'm not having any child, so you need to, you need to start seeing Hagar. Said you need to start seeing her. And I believe that what God is wanting is God wants to give us a child through her. Well, that ain't what God said.
Amen.
God said Sarah was going to conceive.
Right.
But nevertheless, you know the story, and we're still reaping from it today.
Well, yeah.
It's on the news every week.
Yes.
And, the fallout from what happened and what Abraham and Sarah done, and Abraham messed up. Well, you and I could mess up.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I think about David. David was the best, sweetest psalmist of Israel, the king of Israel, one of the great warriors of Israel. Wrote a lot of the Psalms, and yet we know there came a time in David's life when David stayed home from the battle. David stayed home that night. You say, why did he stay home? I don't know. Maybe the Super Bowl was on. I don't know.
Yeah.
David stayed home that night, but he didn't go to church.
Yeah.
And it wound up in trouble. Amen.
Amen.
David was overtaken in a fault. And I don't have time to talk about all the quakes that come from that one large earthquake in David's life, because he built his life upon a fault line. I think about Solomon. Solomon amazes me. The Bible said Solomon prayed, and God told him. He said, God said, Solomon, He said you can have anything you want. Just ask it and it's yours. And boy, that wouldn't work for most people, would it?
Amen.
But Solomon was seemed like a good man, had good character, and he knew he was going to be the leader of Israel, and he wanted wisdom to lead God's people.
Amen.
God was pleased with Solomon's prayers. I hope he is mine and yours. But Solomon, he prayed for others is what he did. And God bless Solomon, give him wisdom. But boy, when you read Ecclesiastes and you read the life of Solomon, he had, I think he had 1,000 wives. And we think about Solomon and all that he went through. And you know, when we sum all that up, here's what we come up with that brought Noah down, Abraham down, David down, and Solomon down. Here's what brought them down. It was wine, women, and wealth. Amen. That's what brought them down.
Yes.
Did you know people can't handle that? Amen. They can't handle that. God knew that. That's why God said, wine is a mocker and strong drinks raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. That's why God said that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I know it's old-fashioned, outdated, behind the times, but you know God's perfect plan was still one man and one woman. That was God's perfect plan. Amen. I know that. You say, well, I had a bad look in my life. Well, I hate it. I really do. I hate it when people have marital problems. And I understand that God can take the broken pieces and the fragments and God can put them together and still do something with them and still do something wonderful. But God's plan is the best plan.
Amen.
It's the best plan. And then I think about wealth. Brother Rondell, he likes that verse over in Proverbs where the writer said, don't give me a lot of wealth, don't give me a lot of things, just enough sufficient because it might run me, so to speak.
Yeah.
And God knows the best. That's why most of us here tonight, that's why we're not millionaires tonight.
Amen.
Jack, that's why we're not millionaires. Because most of us, we just couldn't handle it. Amen.
Amen.
But we need to consider ourselves tonight. Just take a moment tonight to consider ourselves. And what's happened to others, it could happen to us.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know it's hard to conceive tonight that you wouldn't be sitting in church 6 months from now, but it could happen.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. And not to realize that is to build your life upon a fault line, it's to build your life upon a fault line that one day there'll come a shaking. You see, right now, tonight, everything may be pretty good at your house, and you've got a job, and the kids are behaving themselves, and you got a decent marriage, and everything's going good. But see, the way you feel tonight may be different 6 months from now, when the kids start causing problems and you get laid off at your work and all these things happen, you see, and the devil waits for that. The devil doesn't mind a bit waiting and being patient for those times to come in our life, and then he ambushes us, overtakes us in a fault. And that's why we need to consider ourselves and consider our brother that's happened to, and do our best to restore them in a spirit of meekness.
Amen.
That's right. Look at verse 3. He said, for if a man think of himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen. Sure
does. Did you know, tonight, if you think more highly of yourself than what you ought to, you're building on a fault line.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was Saul's problem.
Yeah.
Did you know that I know God told Samuel to go and to anoint Saul to be the king of Israel. And you know what the Bible said about Saul in chapter 9, verse 2? It said that there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. In other words, he is a tall, nice-looking fella, amen. Did you know sometimes good looks can be a curse?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Being ugly will save you from a lot of temptation.
Amen.
Yeah.
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 Amen. So if you're ugly, just say, thank God. I don't have a lot of temptation. Amen. But Saul, he thought he was really something. He had that attitude all the way through his life. He thought he was really something. Amen.
Amen.
Just remember this, that beauty don't last forever.
Oh, that's right. Beauty's right. Like a flower.
Amen. If you ain't ugly now, you will be before you leave this world.
Amen.
You're going to people's houses and see them pictures. You know, I had a preacher remarried not long ago. He's up in age. And he told me, he said, Brother Prophet, he said, I got married again. I said, well, praise the Lord. His wife died. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And I'm glad. And he said, let me show you my wife. And he got his billfold out. And he got a picture out. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And I said, boy, she's a lot older than you, ain't she? Younger than you, ain't she? And he said, well, that was when she was 20. He didn't have a picture of her now. But the good thing about it is we grow ugly together, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So yeah. The Lord knows how to do it. He just lets us grow together, Brother Eddie.
Yeah, brother.
But old Saul, he thought he was really something. Amen. They used to have a little saying. I can't remember exactly how it goes. Maybe something like this. I've heard my mother say it. And she'd say, I'd like to buy him for what he thinks he's worth.
Yeah.
And sell him for what he's really worth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, most of us ain't worth much.
Amen. Yeah.
We wasn't worth the Lord giving his life for us on the cross of Calvary. I can tell you that.
Amen, Brother Rick.
I tell you, he didn't get no bargain out of any of us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
But thank God he loved us. I don't know why he did. I really don't. I don't know why the Lord loved us. Maybe he felt sorry for us.
Thank you, Lord.
But thank God he loved us. And I tell you, if you don't realize tonight that you ain't worth nothing, grace of God saved you. You and I, we didn't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't realize that, if you have an attitude that you deserve heaven, you're worth something. Yes. You was worth Calvary. You was worth His suffering. You're building your life on a fault line.
Amen.
That one of these days is going to erupt, and there's going to come an earthquake in your life, and there's going to be devastation, and your life is going to fall apart. Amen.
Right.
No, sir, I want you to know that's what happened to Saul. Saul got a little presumptuous, you know. He thought, well, I'm Saul. I've been anointed to be king. And one day Samuel didn't show up in time to offer the sacrifice. And the Bible said that Saul, rather than just waiting on Samuel, he just went ahead and presumptuous, and he just went ahead and done it himself before Samuel got there. And that wasn't a really smart thing to do, but that shows you the pride that he had.
Yes. Amen.
That he thought that he was as worthy to offer that sacrifice as the prophet Samuel was. And you see, he had a lot of pride. And the Bible says this. It said, pride goeth before destruction.
Yeah.
But a haughty spirit before the fall.
Amen.
Someone said, be humble or you'll stumble.
That's right.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. Amen.
Amen.
And then Saul, over in the 1 Samuel 15, God sent him down there to destroy the Amalekites because the Amalekites had attacked Israel.
Right.
As they were leaving, coming out, they attacked them and had no mercy on them. And God said, go down there and destroy all the Amalekites. He said, destroy the sheep, the cattle, the asses, the king, everything, destroyed all. And yet we read where that Saul went down there, and the Bible said he went down there and he saved Agai the king. He went down there and he saved some of the best of the sheep and the cattle and the oxen. And here comes Samuel down there, and he said, what have you done? And he said, I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord. And about that time, one of them sheep began to buy out there. And he said, what's that bleating of the sheep right here?
Yeah.
And he had disobeyed God for the final time that time. Amen. But you see, he deceived himself in thinking he was more than what he was.
That's right.
That's what Galatians is telling us here in the Word of God. It said, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Sure does.
Sometimes people think they're smart, they know a lot.
Yeah.
The Bible said if any man think of himself to know anything, he knows nothing of what he ought to know.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. There's a lot in that Bible, brother, I tell you that.
Oh, yes, brother.
And you know, God has set it up in such a way that you can't read it one time and you've got it.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
God set it up in such a way you've got to read that book every day of your life.
Continue, my
Lord. Or you'll forget it.
Amen. That's right.
You won't be able to remember even a Bible story if you don't keep reading that book. God set it up that way because He wants to keep us in the book.
Amen.
And the best way I know to know what we really are is to keep your face in that book.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Because that book will tell you what you are.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. It'll tell you what you are. And sometimes it won't be very nice about it.
That's right, brother.
I think about Samson. You know, Samson seemed to be a little bit of an arrogant guy. And Samson, you know, he'd always do these little riddles. He'd always kind of tempt God. And Samson was the kind of guy, he reminds me of some Baptist, I know. He would just go as close to sin as he could without sinning. He would just go as far out of the will of God as you could without getting out of the will of God. But I want you to know, when you live like that, you're building your life on a fault line.
Amen.
One of these days you'll go a little farther.
Yes, right.
Than what you intended to go.
Amen.
That's what happened to Samson.
That's right.
And it hurts us, Eddie, to think about Samson waking up.
Yeah.
And them punching his eyes out. Them shaving his head. And this great giant of a man coming down to what he come down to. And you see it all because he deceived himself. He thought he was above the law. Did you know sometimes Christians, we begin to think we're above the law.
Amen.
You see that happen a lot of time in law enforcement. People that are police officers, people that are chief of police, sometimes they wind up in scandals and problems and trouble because somehow they get to thinking the devil deceives them. They begin to think they're above the law. And what applies to others doesn't apply to them. The next thing you know, there's an earthquake. There's a shaking. Their life is falling apart. Their face is on the front page of the paper. They do the court time and then the prison time, all because they thought they were above the law.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It happens sometimes in every profession.
Right.
That happens.
That's right.
Man. If we're not careful, we deceive ourselves.
That's right.
And somehow or another, we think that will never happen to us. I'm too strong a Christian.
Right.
That never happened to me. I've got too good a good home. I got too good a home.
Yeah.
We got too good a Christian home. That could never happen to us.
Well, Peter said, go on.
Don't build on that fault line.
No, sir.
Amen. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 4. He said, but let every man prove his own work.
Amen.
Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. First of all, don't build on that fault line of not considering yourself. Secondly, don't build on that fault line of deceiving yourself into thinking you're more than what you are.
Amen.
And then thirdly, prove yourself. I'm afraid in the church of our day that there's a lot of people that all they're doing is they're living off what somebody else has done.
Yes, right.
Now, some of that's okay. It's okay to do some of that. But I want to tell you, when it comes to the things of God, you need something you've done.
Yes. Amen.
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 You can't live off your mother's faith. You can't live forever off your father's faith. You've got to have something of your own.
That's right.
I admire little David for that over there in 1 Samuel 17. David went down to fight the mighty giant Goliath. David went down there and Saul said, well, here, if you're willing to fight him, you can at least take my armor.
Bless him, Lord.
Saul put that big old armor of Saul on little old bitty ruddy David. Jack Hiles said he put that armor on and walked around 3 times in it before he ever hit anything. That's how big it was. But little old David, he put it off and David didn't deceive himself. David considered himself Eddie.
Yeah.
And David said, I can't go with this because I've not proved this. David pulled out that little old slingshot. And David said, I've proved this out there. I know what I can do with this. I've killed a bear out there. I've killed a lion out there. I know what I can do with this. I've proved this. I want to tell you, folks, you better go with what you've proven. You better stick with what works. You better stay with what's got the job done in your life. There's so many people that they're building on the fault line of what somebody else has done. Let me give you a good illustration of this. When Jesus went before Pilate in John 18, And Pilate, he entered into the judgment hall, and he called Jesus, and he said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of you? In other words, he said, Are you saying that I'm king of the Jews because God showed you that and because that you got that from God? Are you saying I'm king of the Jews because you heard somebody else say that? Yeah. Can I tell you, folks, listen, if you're building on the fault line of what all that other people have said, and you don't have anything of your own, there's going to come a shaking in your life one day. There's going to come an earthquake, and all that you built upon is going to fall down. Amen. I don't tell people they're saved. I tell them how to be saved. I give them the plan of salvation, but I quit telling them a long time ago they're saved. You say, why? That's too important. That's eternal. Yeah. That's something that they need to prove and know their self that they're saved. Amen. I tell you, if all I had to go on was because somebody else told me I was saved, I'd be nervous tonight. But I'm glad, Eddie. I'm glad. I know tonight I'm saved. Amen. I remember that Sunday morning at Little Southern Baptist Church when I went my way down to the altar and come kneeling there at the foot of the cross. And God done a work in this little boy's heart. And thank God I know that I'm saved. Prove that.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of people, I'm afraid one day they built their life on a fault line.
Mm.
And somebody told them that they were saved. Somebody told them they was, and they wouldn't even under conviction. They wouldn't even seeking the Lord.
Right.
And somebody told them in a certain setup or situation, told them they were saved. I like what Psalms 34 and verse 8 says. It said, Oh, taste the Lord.
It is good.
And see that He's good.
Amen.
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 I appreciate all the food all y'all brought over this week. It was a blessing. Really helped with sugar. No. Appreciate all those.
Bless the Lord.
I told Sister Connie, she brought over some stuff. And I told her next day, I said, Sister Connie, these are the best pork chops I ever eaten in my life. She said, Did you eat them? I said, I ate two of them. She said, That wasn't pork chops, that was chicken. I couldn't believe it, amen. But I said that to say this, Eddie, I don't need you to tell me that them pork chops was good.
Amen, brother.
You say, Why? I tasted them myself.
Yeah.
I don't need anybody tonight after 35 years of trying to live for God, after knowing Him ever since I was 10 year old. I don't need nobody, Brother Eddie, to tell me God's good.
Listen,
yep.
I know God's good.
Yeah,
woo!
Yeah,
thank you, Lord. I know God's good. Woo! He's been good to me in the good times. He's been good to me in the bad times. I don't need nobody to tell me God's good.
Amen.
You say, Why? He's proved that
woo!
To me. I know God's good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
That's right, brother.
You need something you've proved.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You need to build your life on not just what somebody else is built on.
Right.
Don't live on somebody else's prayers.
Amen.
Say something yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't live on somebody else's Bible study. Do some of it yourself.
Amen.
Don't live on the stories of somebody else's witness, and you witness a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the Bible said if you do that, you'll have rejoicing.
Yeah.
You'll have rejoicing in yourself.
Amen.
Amen. And you, when you pray for these lost folks, and we got at least 10 coming right now.
Thank you, Lord.
And we're trying to pray for them every day.
Yes.
And get them before God. But let me tell you something. When you join in on that, and you're praying for this person, and you're calling their name out to God in prayer, when they walk down that aisle, and they get saved, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have some rejoicing.
Yes.
Not because I prayed for them, but because you prayed for them.
Amen.
And you had a part in that. Amen.
Amen.
You see, that's the way. That's why some people never rejoice.
That's right.
When you get in these good Holy Ghost services, when you get in them and you see some people just really get in, wade in, get in waters to swim in, other people just stand looking around like they don't know what's going on.
Yep. Bless the Lord.
Sometimes it's because they're not invested in
this.
Yeah.
They have nothing in it, amen.
Amen.
That's why that happens. prove yourself. If you don't, you'll build your life on a fault line that will one day prove that it wasn't real, it wasn't yours, it was just what somebody, you was taking what somebody else said, you was getting what somebody else gave you. All right, look here in verse 7. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Yeah.
Let me say, don't fool yourself.
Amen.
If you think you can live any way you want to live,
you do good.
Romans 6.
And do anything you want to do,
yeah,
and reap the blessings of God, you're fooling yourself.
That's right.
I mean, how plainer could you get it than what God said it right there?
Yep.
He said, if you sow to the flesh, if you live for the flesh, what you're going to get is what that flesh produces. That's what you're going to get.
Amen.
But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to get what the Spirit produces, and that's life everlasting, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
I feel like a lot of people, they fool their own self.
Yes,
they say they're all right. They never go to church. They don't live right. They don't talk right. They don't act right. They don't have the right morals. They don't have the right standard. Don't have the right love life. Nothing's right about them, but somehow or another they feel like they're all right. They're fooling themselves.
Amen.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
They're building on a fault line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, me, brother.
Right now, everything may be okay.
Not forever.
Right now, everything may be right. Every person, that's why the Bible said it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting.
Amen.
Every person ought to go 4 or 5 times a year and watch somebody die.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Yep.
You say, why? Boy, everything changes when you get down to that.
That's right.
Let me tell you, when that quaking starts, and when you know it's a coming, Brother Eddie, you know it's a coming, boy, you get serious then. You start thinking about things then. I'm telling you now, listen, there's a world full of people out there that has fooled ourselves. They think they're all right. They think they're going to reap the blessings of God, and what they're going to reap is the judgment of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Luke 12, you know the story, it's a parable.
Yeah.
Jesus, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful.
Yeah.
He thought within himself, see, here's what he thought, what we're just talking about. What shall I do, because I have no room to store my fruits? He said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool,
Amen.
This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a parable of a man it's a parable, and it's a living reality.
Yes.
That many people have been just like this man, Brother Ivan. They look out there, and because their crops are blessed, their barns are full, their bank accounts are full, they think everything's going to be all right. They fool themselves.
Yes.
They left one thing out of the equation. They left God out of the
Amen.
Equation.
Amen.
Yes,
you right. can't forget about God.
That's right.
Amen.
Here's a man thought he had many days.
Mm.
Thought he was going to eat and drink and be merry.
Right.
That night, the shaking starts.
Yes, right.
Next thing you know, a full-blown earthquake.
Yeah,
and that man's life, his barns, all of them have just fallen down. And that man's life, my friend, he goes out to meet God unprepared.
Amen.
To meet God. You can't leave God out of the equation.
That's right.
Amen. What one of us could bring $1,000 bill up here and lay it down on the altar and said, I guarantee you $1,000, I guarantee you I'll be breathing, living in the morning.
Oh, me,
God. You can't do it.
That's right.
Right.
It'd be detrimental.
You can't do it. You say, well, my health's good. I've seen people, years ago we went to a church, we used to go to, Sister Betty, remember this, down our brotherhood. And had a man come in that day in the side door. He come in at the side door and sit over in the choir. But before he sat down, he told the pastor, he said, I've been to the doctor today. And he is probably in his 60s. He says, I've been to the doctor today. I got a clean bill of health. The doctor said, I got the heart of a 16-year-old. And Pastor said, "That's good." And he went over and sat down. And the service hadn't much more than got started. And there's a rustling over in the corner. That man had a massive heart attack. Went out in eternity to meet God. My friend, you just don't know. Amen. You and I just don't know.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself.
That's right.
Noah, Jesus, Luke 21, Jesus told Peter. Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus told Peter. He called him Simon.
Yeah.
He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan's desired to have you.
Amen, Brother Rick.
That he might sift you as wheat." Mm. And Simon said, "Lord, though all men forsake thee, I never will."
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So Matthew might, Mark might, John might. Yeah. I could see it in Judas. Yeah. But I'll never do it.
Right.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you something. Don't never get to the place. You and I don't never get to the place where we think we know more than God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen, brother. Good counsel.
If God says it, if God speaks to you, you better listen to
him. Amen.
Amen. You better listen to him. I had shared this just a few people, but and I'm not big on this kind of stuff. I've had it happen to me a few times in my life. But last November, I had a real in-depth, vivid dream. And I woke up, and the next morning I went in there with my wife, got a cup of coffee to sit down. I said, "Honey, I had a vivid dream." She said, "What was it?" I said, "It was like God spoke so plain to me." God said, "Ricky, I've let you have your daddy for a long time. I've let him get back right with God.
Bless him.
But I'm going to take him real soon."
Bless him, Lord.
You say, "What did he do? He took him real soon."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying, when you hear from God, you better listen to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He knows more than we do. Don't fool yourself into thinking somehow you're a special class, you're a special deal, somehow or another you're going to get by with it. No, sir. That Bible says to everybody, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap.
Amen. Amen.
You know why some people have so much hell in their life? That's what they do. They sow hell in their life.
Yes, right.
You know why some people have so much bitterness and envy and all that junk going on in their life? That's what they sow in their life. You know why some people seem to have love and peace and joy and all the things the Holy Ghost produces in your life? Because that's what they sow. You say, "I don't like the way my life is." Won't you quit sowing what you're sowing?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Won't you start sowing what you want?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't like your life the way it is, then start sowing things.
Yes, right.
So that you can reap a different crop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Otherwise, it'll never happen. And you know what happened to Simon? It came out just like the Lord said it would. It'll do it every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
A lot of people's building their life on a fault line.
Oh, me, bro.
On a fault line. It's a dangerous place to build your life.
Sure is.
It's not in the notes, but some people are, Scott taught about it this morning, but some people constantly finding fault with everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You better be careful you're building on the faults of others.
Yeah.
Some people, the only way they can make themselves feel good is by making others worse.
Right.
Right.
Sometimes some people, the only way they can elevate themselves is by putting the other fellow down.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, Jesus, he dressed them Pharisees and scribes down real good in Matthew 23. But he's preaching. And the Bible says over in Timothy concerning preaching, it says, "Reprove, rebuke, and then you exhort." Before the exhorting comes the reproving and the rebuking.
Yes.
But the Bible always says for a preacher, for a teacher, for a child of God, the Bible always says you do it in love.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when you and I are unkind, we're of the wrong kind.
You're right.
Bless the Lord.
The Bible tells us, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself.
Amen, brother.
God's not in the business of deceiving people that wants to do right. You say, "Why'd you say that?" Because there is coming a day when church is going to be taken out.
Yep.
And people that had a chance to do right and didn't do right.
Yep.
It says over in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says down there, that they'll, that God, they'll believe a lie and be damned.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. But God's not in the business of deceiving people. God wants people to know the truth. God wants people to know they're saved. God's not in this business of a person being tormented all their life because they don't know if they are or if they ain't.
That's right.
You can say that. God's given you a book that you can say that. You can leave God. You can get it nailed down. You can prove it.
Amen. That's right. Yes. Work it out.
Let me say this tonight in closing. In Galatians 6 there, verses 12. Verse 12 there. Let's just start in at verse 10. And he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And notice this, underline it, especially of those of the household of faith. You ought to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. You ought to help everybody.
Yes.
But you especially ought to help them. Yeah. You know what? If I helped you tonight and I wouldn't help my own brother, my own family, my own brother and sister, that wouldn't be right. Because the Bible says piety starts at home. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
I need to help my own first. Mm-hmm. And then I need to also reach out and help other people. The Bible says there that Paul talked about his eyes. No doubt he said, you see how large a letter I've written. Talked about the letters were large, not in length, but in size. And he said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. These people, these Gnostic teachers that have come into the church of Galatians, and they're trying to get people to revert back and under the law, and trying to get them to go back to that Old Testament setup, trying to get them to say they're saved some other way. Mm-hmm. I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, you know, you can't be saved by works, at least not in the New Testament. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't be saved by works in either Testament.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
If you could be saved by works in either Testament, God would have never nailed his son to the cross.
Right. Amen.
And you can take that to the bank, buddy.
Yep.
Amen.
I want you to know that's what he's talking about here. And here's what I'm coming to. He said that neither they, let me say this tonight. If you want to go into a dead church, if you want to go into a place that is dead, you just go into one of these legalistic places.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'm not talking about a separated church. Church ought to be separated.
Right.
And I'm talking about a legalistic place. I'm talking about a place where everybody's just miserable. You say, why? Because they're holding them to the law. They still got them under the law.
Yes.
Well, brother, I'm not under the law anymore.
Amen.
I tell you, the law's not my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness.
Amen.
He's the end of the law for me, for righteousness.
Amen.
That's right.
But you go into one of these places where it's run by some type of a dictator. I'm not talking about pastoral authority. I'm talking about going way beyond that, and the Bible says it this way, lording over the flock.
Right.
Lording over the flock. Now, if you want to get in a dead place, you just get you in one of them places. Mm-hmm. I don't care if the hair drags the floor. I don't care if they wear dresses down all the way to their ankles. I don't care what they've got on, what they do. I'm here to tell you, you go in one of them places and you'll find it dead, brother.
Yes. You're right.
You know why? Because the Bible said the letter kills.
Amen.
Yes.
But you know what it says? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. When you get in the liberty that Christ gives you, you can enjoy coming to the house of God.
Amen.
You can worship the Lord. You're not under some type of Old Testament bondage. You're free in Christ, thank God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Again, I'm not talking about separation. God's people ought to be separated. I'm talking about legalistic, dictator-type thing. God's not in that. Now, hear what I want to say tonight. I'm done. But if you think you can save yourself, you're building on a fault line.
That's right.
Amen, brother.
That's right, brother.
That's what these people thought. They thought because if they were circumcised, because they thought they were keeping the law, nobody really ever kept the law. If they did, they wouldn't have needed that yearly sacrifice.
That's right.
Nobody really ever kept the law. The only thing that law was doing is it's like a high interest credit card.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sin debt Every year the high priest would go in on that Day of Atonement, yeah, and he'd offer that lamb, and really all that did was just pay the interest, yeah, on the sin debt and roll it over for another year.
Yes.
But brother, when he came, woo! Yeah. When that Lamb of God, yeah, came, yeah, he didn't just pay the interest, he, yeah, wiped the whole, yeah, debt out.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful tonight?
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
Now look, there's people that think they're going to save themselves. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Rich young ruler came to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know it. I won't even go there. It's Luke 18, verse 18 through 23. He comes and said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, thou knowest the law. Went down through there and told him. In one of the accounts, he said, that's not covered. Uh-oh. He hadn't committed adultery, at least to his satisfaction. He had honored his mother and father, but there he was with all that money. Rich young ruler, there he was with all that money. And the Lord said, take what you got and give it to the poor. Come on, follow me. And he couldn't do it.
Yes.
Right. And I tell you that man can never save himself.
That's right.
Amen. And I feel sorry for these people that have a faith works type salvation.
Yes.
They're doing part of it. Jesus is doing part of it. It won't work.
Try, right, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm glad that Jesus did it all.
Amen.
I'm glad when he died on the cross, he didn't say, I've done my part, now you finish it up.
Amen.
I'm glad he said, it is finished.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He done it all.
Yeah.
Amen.
Religion's way of salvation is doomed. Christ's way of salvation is done.
Amen.
I'm glad, I'm glad that he done it all. I'm glad Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Let me say this tonight. There is one. There is one. Only one. There is one you can build your life on.
Hallelujah, brother.
Yes.
That has no fault there.
That's right.
Amen.
To the foundation.
He stood before a very critical pilot. And Pilate examined him, and you know what Pilate said? I find no fault.
Yeah. Amen.
Glory!
Yeah. I'm building my life on a place,
woo,
where there is no fault lies.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory!
The only place that I know of where there is no fault lines is upon Christ, the solid rock.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
All over the ground, sing it.
You read you what the Hebrew writer said. He said, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, mm-hmm, as are things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
Amen.
One of these days, this whole world's going to shake.
That's right, brother.
Yep.
To
these big old buildings down there in Dallas, and in them big old buildings, and I just thought about it when I was walking around there. I thought one of these days that all of them's going to come down. God's going to shake all these big old buildings. They're all going to come down.
That's right.
Everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
That's right, brother. That's right.
But thank God there's one little spot there on a hill outside of Jerusalem called Calvary.
Oh.
Just big enough to stick a cross in. And thank God there's one place, sir, that's not going to shake.
Amen.
That's that thing that cannot be shaken.
Amen.
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 Amen. The storms of life may round me roll. This old earth may shake from pole to pole. Yet none of this shall daunt my faith. The Savior is my hiding place.
Woo!
Oh, I have found, Lord, a hiding place.
Yes.
A blessed, blessed hiding place. Yes. Tis Jesus that bestows his grace. And thus become my hiding place.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God. Are you on that rock that has no fault lines in it?
Yes.
Or are you building your life over the fault lines. If you are one of these days, there'll be a shaking.
It's going to be the fall.
And your life is going to come tumbling down. Lord, I thank you tonight for the message. I thank you for the liberty I had to preach tonight.
Thank you, Father.
And nothing helps a preacher like God helping him to preach and blessing him in his preaching. And Lord, I know there's a lot of people tonight in this old world, and they're doing exactly what I preached tonight. They're building their life on the fault line.
Amen.
But God, I pray that they might get on that rock that has no fault lines, that rock of ages that has stood and will stand the test of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight.
124.
Lost a good friend of ours and everything, but we know where he is, Lord,
yes.
And that's the only thing that keeps us going.
Yes.
I just want to say how sorry I am about that. And I know that Brother Rick is hurting, and we all just need to be praying for him, Lord,
bless him.
Because he's got an awful lot on his mind right now. And We just need to help him anytime that we can. Lord, just go with us now to our homes. Keep us safe. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you will be doing for us. And this I pray in your son's precious name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody have a word for the Lord before we let you go, Brother Greg?
Brother Rick, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me. Yeah. You know, he saved me when I was 12 years old. Mm.
Amen, brother.
Got saved in July. Then got killed in December. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of things, done a lot of things. But he was always beside me.
Amen.
He never left. Even though I left him, he never left me.
Amen. Amen, brother. I believe that.
Amen.
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 All righty, Brother Eddie.
Yeah, Brother Rick, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul in a beer tonight and hear this great message. And
yes.
That's saved 28 years ago. I just like to say it's been well in my soul ever since.
Amen, brother.
Ever since kneeling down there in that bedroom, 9000 Ebony Road, didn't know anything, just knew I needed to get saved. And I'm glad God kind of met me more than halfway. And the psalmist said, my heart's fixed. I guess that's the best way to explain what he done. He just fixed it.
Amen.
And I've had a lot come against me. I ain't never had anything come against me. He wasn't there for me. I praise God for him saving the mess tonight.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yes.
Bless.
Bless the Lord, bless her.
I just want you to know, most people here know my 14-year-old son went to school on the way, and he was come home that night.
Bless her, Father.
And we didn't know he had a heart problem.
Bless her, Lord.
He died of a cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
And I just want you to seriously consider that. If you're here tonight,
yeah, it's your heart.
We don't know if we'll be back here or not.
That's right, it's true.
Bless you, Sister Kay. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else tonight? Anyone else? All right. The Lord's blessed us through another Lord's Day.
Amen, brother.
Yes.
Better we even get close to deserve.
That's right. That's right.
So we hope you have a good week. And, get somebody on your heart. Get somebody on your heart and pray for them and maybe talk to them about the Lord. Y'all done a real good job inviting folks to church, and got a lot of visitors coming, a lot of lost people coming. I can tell the people talking that there's a lot of interest going on in people, and that's the way it ought to be. Amen.
Yes.
Lost souls and trying to get them to the Lord. That's what we need to do. All right. God bless you. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. You're free to go.